The social welfare states have been successful in maintaining very high employment rates for two other reasons. First, social support for the working-age population has been tied to specific policies that require those receiving benefits to seek employment with the assistance of government programs. Second, the government itself has acted as an important employer of last resort. Many older, lower-skilled, and partially disabled workers are employed in the public sector, and especially by local governments, in the provision of public sector social services, including daycare, health care, and support for the disabled population. Those policies have allowed the social welfare states to use government programs to ensure outstanding employment levels. In terms of wealth and per capita income, the social welfare states again defy the stereotype that high taxation leads to lower living standards. On average, the social welfare states have a higher per capita GNP than the free market countries, with the mixed economies coming in third. The high tax burden in the social welfare states has obviously not crushed the economy. And when we look not only at average income, but also at its distribution among the citizenry, the social welfare states achieve their high incomes with greater equality. The poorest 20% of households in the social welfare states take in around 9.6% of the national income, as opposed to only 7.3% of the national income in the free market countries. Thus, if we look at the poorest 20% of the households in each group, the average annual income comes to $24,465 for the poor in the social welfare states, compared with just $17,533 in the free market countries. Thus, the social welfare states have achieved high levels of income, low rates of poverty, and a more equal distribution of income than the free market societies. This is powerful evidence of the advantages of an extensive social welfare state. These countries have also achieved many other notable successes in their governance and economic management. They are rated very highly for having low corruption and high public trust in government institutions. They are rated very highly in their international competitiveness and in rankings by the World Economic Forum and others. They achieve high rates of national saving despite the high tax burden. They achieve balanced budgets despite the large social outlays because the high public spending is matched by adequate taxation. In short, they have achieved vibrant, well-functioning democracies that assure a very high level of social well-being for all of the citizens. Another striking fact about the social welfare states is their very high rate of technological excellence. Sweden and Finland prosper on their high-tech sectors in information and communications technologies, notably led by Ericsson and Nokia, respectively. In the ranking of countries in the World Economic Forum Technology Index, which is built upon evidence of innovation, R&D, and mobilization of information and communications technology, the social welfare countries score exceptionally well. They are heavy investors both in R&D and in higher education, and they have very high rates of patents per capita as well. As a final point, social welfare spending not only reduces inequities and uncertainties within a rich society, but also bolsters the confidence and trust within the society to be more generous on the international stage. These countries treat the world's poor and vulnerable as they treat their own. U.S. politics, by pursuing a constricted notion of social insurance, foster a society of fear and vulnerability that lacks the readiness to contribute more to global cooperation. Mainstream Americans feel increasingly unnerved by widening income inequality at home and are therefore less likely to support assistance for the poor abroad. When we examine the relationship between a country's domestic social policies and its international aid policies, there is a striking positive correlation. Countries like the United States, with very low social spending at home, are also the countries with low levels of international development aid. Countries like Sweden, with very high levels of social spending, are also countries with high levels of international aid. In essence, countries treat their own poor and the world's poor with a similar approach, either extending ample help through social spending, as in Sweden, or leaving the poor to fend for themselves, as in the United States. The social welfare state, in this sense, can be a powerful instrument for enlightened globalization, both within the rich countries and in fostering sound relations between the rich and the poor countries. Is the social welfare model transferable and sustainable? The Nordic commitment to the social welfare state is long-standing and dates back at least to the post-World War II political scene. Social democrats have governed in Northern Europe for most years since 1950. Social spending as a percent of GMP has been relatively high in the social welfare states for at least 40 years. In this sense, there is a long-standing social welfare model of social democracy. We have shown that the social welfare model of high social spending has not led to long-term political or economic deterioration. The social welfare states tend to outperform the other countries on most economic and governance indicators. There are still important questions regarding the transferability of the social welfare model. There is probably little room for doubt that Nordic ethnic homogeneity has been an important enabling social factor in the success of the social welfare state. In a wonderful series of articles, Alberto Alessina and colleagues have shown that social spending tends to be highest where social and racial cleavages are the smallest. This is true across U.S. states and apparently across countries as well. White Americans living in states with higher proportions of African Americans, for example, seem to be much less likely to support high levels of social spending. The authors summarize matters as follows. Racial discord plays a critical role in determining beliefs about the poor. Since minorities are highly overrepresented amongst the poorest Americans, any income-based redistribution measures will redistribute particularly to minorities. The opponents of redistribution have regularly used race-based rhetoric to fight left-wing policies. Across countries, racial fragmentation is a powerful predictor of redistribution. Within the U.S., race is the single most important predictor of support for welfare. America's troubled race relations are clearly a major reason for the absence of an American welfare state.